Word of God this morning, turn to Exodus in chapter number 2. Exodus in chapter number 2. And I'm going to preach by the grace of the Lord this morning, this sermon, I Thought I Had a Plan. Amen. I thought I had a plan. And man, that would describe many of us in life sometimes. I mean, I had it all planned out until I didn't. Amen. Ask you to be in prayer. We're supposed to be baptizing this morning. Sarah Jane, who I know is new. She's just been coming here for a couple weeks, but is Ty's fiance. We all know Ty, and they've known each other for like, I don't know, 20-something years, and she was going to be baptized. Had a great testimony of salvation, and Ty just texted me during the song service, and she had a seizure this morning, and so they're not going to make it. So let's be praying for her, and just praying that they can still be making right decisions, right choices going forward, and just be in prayer for her. But that's unfortunate, but Lord is in control. Lord knows what's going on. So if you found Exodus in chapter number 2, go ahead and find Acts in chapter number 7. And then if I don't know, we're going to make it to either of these, but I'd rather you have it marked. Also, Hebrews chapter 11. And these are just companion scriptures. If you just put a marker in there, you say, are we going to get there? Maybe. Amen. And yeah, I'd rather we could go there quickly if we do get there. And I believe, some organized thought this morning, but I was on a college schedule this last week, and so that just takes organized thought, throws it out the window to the wind, and it blows away, especially on a morning like this. And and again, I think it's appropriate that I say that with my title. I thought I had a plan. Hopefully by the time we're done with this message, you won't say, yeah, we thought you had a plan too. Amen. But Acts in chapter 7, Hebrews in chapter 11, those are companion scriptures to Exodus, our text here in Exodus chapter 2. And to really try to help, it does a great aid to putting this passage into a full picture, into a complete picture. And so if you would, if you're able this morning, stand with me in honor of the Word of God in Exodus chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse number 11, read down through verse number 22. It says, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and he saw that there was no man. He slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together and said to him, and he said, that's Moses, said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, whom made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and filled their troughs of water. And filled the troughs of water to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Raul, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew their water for enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughter, where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. So again, we're going to try to preach this morning. I thought I had a plan. Dear God, Lord, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you that you, Lord, that you love us. And Lord, even though we might have the best made plans, God, we know this, that you always have a plan. And God, you are sovereign. And God, you know the way that we take. And Lord God, I pray that you just would help each and every one of us, that Lord, we would know this morning in our heart of hearts that Lord, you are always in control. You have control of every little detail of life. And Lord God, we also want to understand this morning, Lord God, that we are not in control of it. And Lord God, I pray we'd be yielded to you in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here as we jump into verse number 11 of chapter number 2, we really have made a big step or a leap, if you will, in the life of Moses. We last time we were here in the book of Exodus, verse number 10, the child grew and they brought him unto Pharaoh. So here yet Moses was a young child in verse number 10, and in verse number 11, he is now a grown man. The scripture tells us, Acts 7, and again, we might get over to that passage of scripture, but in Acts in chapter 7 in verse number 23, it tells us that Moses was 40 years old. And so he goes from a child that enters into Pharaoh's house, and now he is 40 years old. And in between that that time, he would receive some different training than that which he received as a young boy. But he received enough training as a young child to understand that when he was 40, and the book of Hebrews comes in into play here, when he was 40 years old, that he realized that he was not an Egyptian. He knew what he was. He knew who he was, and he desired to help his people. Acts chapter 7 in verse number 22 tells us Moses in those period of time, from the time he left his mother as a child to the time he went into Pharaoh's house and was known as the Pharaoh's daughter, it tells us that he was learned. Moses was learned. The word learned means this. It means to rear up a child. That's what they were growing him in. So he got some training as a child from his mother, but as he got into the Pharaoh's house, he was no longer learning the teaching of the Hebrews. He was no longer learning the teaching of the children of Israel. Now he was being trained up in the ways of Egypt. He was being trained up into the ways of this world, if you will. He was being educated. He was being disciplined. He was being instructed, and they were growing him and molding him into a, if you will, a prince of Egypt. He was learned in, it says, all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And so we'd understand this. At the very moment in time, Egypt was a great world power. It was a the center of the universe, if you will, in this day and time. And he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, meaning that he had the very best education this world had to offer, if you will. He had the very best instruction that this world had to offer. If there were disciplines of life to be learned, the best place to receive those would be from the Egyptian people. They were ruling the world because, if you remember back in chapter number 1, because of Joseph and because of what God had done by the by Joseph and through Joseph, and it made Egypt very great. And understand with me, he had it all, and he had everything the best of this world has to offer. And I think our teenager, you need to listen up, teenagers, because while Moses had everything, he had all the best. He had everything that a worldly teenager could desire. He had everything and the best that this world had to offer. Understand with me, in his heart, it didn't satisfy. You with me? I mean, many teenagers sit back and think, man, if I just could have this and I had that and I didn't have parents that were holding me back and parents that were keeping me from certain things. Listen to me. You can go after everything and you can have the very best, but you'll always find this, that it does not satisfy. And I'm not just trying to be cliche this morning, but you can look around at those who are famous in this world and those who seem to have everything that this world has to offer. And you're going to find out this, that time after time after time after time again, you'll find a life and an individual and a person person who is not satisfied with what they have. They're not satisfied with what they're giving. And we find that in the life of Moses as well. Why he had everything. He knew that he did not have what was most important. He knew that he was not in a place that was where God would desire for him to be. Egypt offered the very best an individual could hope for in this world. And understand with me, Moses desired rather to please God. Verse number 22 of Acts in chapter 7 ends by telling us something about Moses' character. It says this, it tells us about Moses at this time when he raised up here in verse number 11. It says that he was mighty in words and in deeds. Moses was mighty in words and in deeds. Now think for a minute, if you're a student of the Word of God, that's not typically the Moses that most of us know about, is it? No. We think of the Moses at the burning bush. The Moses at the burning bush here in a couple, just not far from where we are. That Moses, after 40 years spending on the backside of the desert, watching after his father-in-law's sheep, that Moses said, man, I'm not elegant of speech. Oh, really? Because here the Moses of the Egyptians, the Moses that was learned and the Moses that was raising up here in verse number 11. Well, that Moses was, listen, it tells us in chapter number 7 of Acts, in verse number 22, it says that he was mighty in words and in deeds. And the Moses that we're gonna, that most of us think about, I mean, he can't talk and I mean, he's just humble and he's meek and, you know, he's just trying to hide his candle under a bushel. He doesn't want to really promote himself. That's not the Moses that rises up here in verse number 11 of Exodus in chapter number 2. The Moses that we see here, listen to me, the Word of God is very clear. He was mighty in words and deeds. And so here he is at 40 years old, and he is mighty in words and deeds. He was very outspoken. He was very capable of speaking. And then he was also, listen to me, he must have been a very formidable man. A formidable man. You say, why is that? Well, number one, he and I'm not trying to say this is great, but he was able to defeat this Egyptian soldier, if you will, this taskmaster that was over the Hebrews with his own might and his own power. And then later on in the story, when the priest's daughters, they come to the seven daughters come to water their sheep, and then the shepherds come on. And it seems like it's just kind of the norm. It's kind of the manner of life because their dad said, How is it? You've come home so early. Here these shepherds come up. That means there's more than one of them. There's a group of shepherds that come up and try to drive these daughters away and hinder what they're trying to do. And the Bible says that Moses ran them off. Multiple shepherds. I'm telling you, he was a pretty buff dude. Amen. And he was able to handle himself, and he was capable of taking care of himself and controlling himself, and he would have been skilled in the ways of a soldier. He would have been skilled in the ways of combat, and not only that, he was well spoken. That's the Moses of Exodus in chapter 2 and verse number 11. Moses in Exodus in chapter 2, number 11, was a man who thought he had a plan. He's able to look at a situation, he was able to assess a situation, and he was able to act upon a situation. You say, well, that'd be a very good commodity to have in an individual, that they're able to look, assess, and act upon what they see taking place, and act upon and to devise a plan to handle the circumstances that are surrounding them. That'd be very desirable of an individual. This was a, if we can say this, this was a very goodly man, capable man, an able-bodied man that we see here in Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 11. But let us never forget that God had a plan for Israel's deliverance. As we look at this able-bodied man, Moses, standing up in chapter number 2 and looking at a situation, assessing it and going, all right, I'm going to eliminate the threat that is threatening my people, Israel. I'm going to eliminate this present danger. Listen, God had a plan of deliverance for Israel. I mean, not just for some Israelites in the circumstances of the moment, but no. God had a plan of deliverance that they were no longer going to be under bondage. God didn't just have a plan that said, listen, we're just going to take care of this little situation and that little situation. No, friend. God had a plan for the whole entire nation of Israel, and God's plan was already in place, and we knew what it was. And you can go back to Genesis in chapter number 50. And verse number 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into a land which I swear to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Now understand with me, Moses was looking at the situation, he was able to see problems and he was able to see circumstances. But what Moses did not know as of yet was the plan of God. No. Moses knew that what was going on was not right. Moses knew that what was going on was not good. Moses even knew, I believe at this point in time, I think the scripture would help us understand this, that he was going to be a help to the situation, that he was going to be part of the solution. But listen to me, what Moses didn't realize at this time is that he was not the solution. He was part of the solution. I mean, God had a plan, and God had a path in which he was going to bring his people back to the land of Canaan, that he was going to bring them out from the bondage of the land of Egypt. And while Moses thought he had a plan, listen to me, God actually had a plan. And it involved Moses. No, God had a plan, and guess what? Moses was part of God's plan. But it wasn't Moses' plan that was going to be enacted. It wasn't Moses that was going to bring deliverance. It was God himself that was going to bring deliverance. And it was God himself that had a plan on how he was going to meet the need of the people. God had a plan for Israel, but as well, God also had a plan for the life of Moses. Amen? God had a plan for the life of Moses. God had an order to which he was going to use Moses. In order to for God to build a leader in Moses, God would have to, we don't like this very much, but he would have to break Moses. Come on. Moses was capable. Moses was well spoken. Moses was a powerful man of his own self. And God, while those were all good things, and while those are all things that God could use to a great and mighty way, God was going to have to break Moses, because God didn't need a warrior to run around Egypt slaying one Egyptian at a time. That's not what he needed. God didn't need a fancy, well-trained, well-educated orator to go and to talk Egypt to death. No, what he needed was a man of God that would be his mouthpiece in order to bring the message of God to the land of Egypt and to the people of Israel, and to be able to be a mouthpiece to pronounce the judgment of God that was coming. That's what he needed. He didn't need a warrior. He didn't need an orator. No, he needed a man that was a humble servant leader. That was willing to stand up and go, listen, I don't necessarily have a plan. I don't really know what even to say. But I do know this. There's a God in heaven, and Pharaoh, you better pay attention and listen to what he desires, or he's going to destroy this mighty land of Egypt, this great land of Egypt. That's what God was looking for. Deliverance would not come by the hand of Moses, but the hand of God through Moses. It wasn't going to come by Moses, but it was going to be by the hand of God, and God was going to use Moses. It's important that we get that, because many times we think, oh, I'm going to do something great for God. No, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something great for the Lord, and I'm going to do something great for God. And understand, while God might use you to do great things, it is God who has done great things through you. Amen. It's not me that goes out and does great things. And we can stand around and take a lot of credit for the things that God uses us to do and the things that God does through us. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, if we can stop and say, man, something miraculous happened, we better hope and pray that it was the miraculous hand of God that did it, and not we in our own stubborn flesh that tried to accomplish something, and that we that tried to manipulate situations to have it come about, but that God was working through us to his honor and glory. And that's the only reason we should do anything. Amen. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Remember what it says? Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. do all to the glory of God. So it's not about how great a preacher I am, or how great a leader I am, or how great a singer I am, or how great a Sunday school teacher I am, or how great a nursery worker I am, or how much people appreciate me. It's, do people see God at work through me? Am I pointing men to Christ? And that's where Moses was in this crossroads. Is he was one that thought, man, I have a plan. I can enact this plan, and God, I will be used as the hand of God. Not so, Moses. Hebrews and Acts, they help us to paint the picture for us. It was obvious by the age of 40 years of age that Moses knows who he is. He is a Hebrew, not an Egyptian. He sees the injustice. It's obvious there that he sees the injustice of what's happening all around him, and he makes a choice. If you go over to the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 11, this is the choice that we see that Moses makes. It says this: by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, he had a free will. He made a choice, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He makes a choice that he's going to suffer. He's going to align himself up with the people of God. His heart was moved to do something about the situation. Go over to the book of Acts in chapter number 7. Acts in chapter number 7. Because we understand this, that at this point we could say Moses had a zeal for God, but he didn't have a knowledge. He had a zeal, but it was not according to knowledge. And in verse number 11 and 12 of our text, Moses thought that he knew exactly what to do. He saw a situation. He saw this Egyptian beating these two Hebrews, and he stepped in and he slew the Egyptian. He eliminated the threat. And I mean, I'm telling you, when I think that, just be in Acts 7, I'll be there in just a second. When I think about Moses swooping in this moment, I just start hearing Western music. I mean, can you see that? Hear Moses? I mean, he sees a problem. And he sees the injustice that's going on. It's like John Wayne walking into town. And here's Moses. I mean, he's coming into town. He's a man with a plan. I mean, he can back up the plan. He's got the ability to rectify the wrongs that are being done. And Moses steps in with his plan, and he, you know, like John Wayne, pulls out his six shooter, and everybody else better duck, run, and hide, you know, because he's going to right the wrong. He's going to make everything right. It's okay. He's trying to help. He's trying to help his people. But look at chapter number 7 of the book of Acts, and it tells us why. Well, why was he doing what he was doing? Why did Moses, I mean, why did at this point Moses waited for this moment in time, and he waited for this very moment? Why is it that he thought that this was the right plan? And look at verse number 25 of Acts 7. It says, I'll read a little more so we can understand where we're at. It says, and Moses was learned, verse number 22, in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and he avenged him and that was oppressed. And he smote the Egyptian. You say, well, that's a pretty good thing. He was defending, he was helping. Look at why. Verse number 25. For he supposed... his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. That's Moses' hand. This is what he supposed, that God's going to use me to bring deliverance. God by me is going to cause there to be deliverance, and I'm going to bring deliverance, and I'm going to start right here, and I'm going to start in this situation, I'm going to start in this circumstance. And he supposed that by his standing up and taking a stand in this moment in time, he supposed that they would all understand that he was the one that was going to bring deliverance, that it was by his hand that they would deliver them. But look at what it says in the end of the verse. But they understood not. They understood not. You say, well, why didn't they understand? Well, I don't know exactly why they don't understand. It might be that they've seen people rise up against, you know, Egypt before. I mean, they've seen people turn on the taskmasters and turn on them. They've seen this take place before. They've seen it happen, and they say, well, big deal. Yeah, you can defeat one Egyptian, but one Egyptian is not the entire Egyptian army. One Egyptian is not every taskmaster. One Egyptian, yeah, you can get angry, you can get mad, and you can take someone's life, but that doesn't deliver anyone. That doesn't help any of us. In fact, it was probably going to make their lives harder and more difficult, and it definitely did not cause Moses to find much favor. No, not with the Hebrews, not with his own people. And of course, we understand, not even with Pharaoh, because now he has to run for his life from Pharaoh. But Moses was the guy who thought he had a plan, and this is what his plan was. He supposed that they would understand that by his hand, God would bring deliverance. That God was going, I mean, that Moses was the arm and the fist and the mighty hand of God unto them. Moses thought he knew what to do, but he supposed he would be the deliverer. He thought by his might, his words, his deeds, Israel would be delivered unto out from under the hand of the Egyptian. If he rose up, the people would follow him. They would just follow him. I mean, why wouldn't they? But knowing what to do doesn't mean you know how to do it. You with me? Sometimes knowing what to do doesn't necessarily mean you know how to do it. If I'm driving down the road and I'm driving in my car and your car starts making noises, amen? And sometimes cars make noises that they shouldn't make. Great noises, you know, and you have to go to the mechanic and you have to make those noises. Well, what's it sound like? What's it doing? Well, I don't know. Every time I turn left, it makes this noise. And what does that mean? I don't know. I have no idea what it means. Bring it in here and we'll check it out. And don't worry. It'll be very inexpensive, you know. When that happens to my car, that's the only option I have. I don't stop and go, I know exactly what the problem is. No, there's times when my car, I know there are problems. It's not hard when you're sitting on the side of the road to evaluate. We have a problem. We have a situation that needs taken care of. I don't run to the trunk and grab my toolbox and go, okay, I'm going to fix this problem. No, I call Jeremiah to tow my car. I take it to Tom. Amen? Because I know I have a problem, but I have no clue how to fix it. The lights go out in your house. I don't go grab a voltmeter. You know, that thing with the little gauge that goes like this and the two little electrodes, and you can stab wires with them. And I'm telling you, I remember going through a class where they tried to teach us in high school how to use that thing. But for the life of me, it's just a little dial with a few electrodes. I have no clue how it works. No, I'll have to call an electrician. Right? I realize the lights are all out. There is a problem. There's a situation. There's something. But understand, if I was to go into try to fix it myself, I'm probably going to cause myself more problems than I am going to give myself help. I'm probably going to be a greater hindrance to myself than I'm going to be help to myself, because knowing what to do doesn't mean I know how to do it. And while Moses was at a point in his life, he knew that there was a problem. He knew there was a circumstance. He knew there was a situation. He even knew that he had some ability and he had some gifts that he might be able to do something about it. But he didn't know the full plan of God. Moses could see. Moses knew something needed to be done. Moses thought that by his hand, that it was by his hand that God would bring deliverance, but it would only be by the hand of God. If you look back in the book of Exodus, it was only going to be by the hand of God. The acts of bringing the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt were not to lift up Moses. And it wasn't for everybody to see how great Moses was, so they would know that he was mighty and that he was a great speaker in words and that he was really something special. That's not at all what it had to do with. It wasn't about Moses at all. Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 20. It says, "And I will stretch out my hand." Moses, this is 40 years later.
When he's slaying the Egyptian, he supposed that everybody would understand that it was by his hand that God was going to bring deliverance. And 40 years later, when he's on the backside of the desert, after he spends a time as a shepherd, and he spends some time alone, God appears unto him, and he's very clear with him in verse number 20. Listen, Moses. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Go to chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. Look at verse number 6. Exodus chapter 6, verse number 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with the stretched out arm and with great judgment, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be unto you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you an heritage. I am the Lord. Listen to me, Moses in his mind here in chapter number 2, and Moses in his thinking, he knows there's a problem, he knows there's a situation, he even knows that he has a few abilities and he can do something about it, but the something that he can do wasn't going to help the situation. It wasn't going to bring deliverance, even though he supposed it would. It wasn't going to. No. It was the hand of God that was going to bring deliverance. It was the Lord himself that was going to bring his people out from bondage. Moses was never going to be a deliverer. No. God had already claimed that title for himself. God was already claiming that position for himself. God, not Moses, was the deliverer. Moses made a mess and had to flee for his life, but God in his sovereignty puts him right where he could learn to be the leader that God needed for his hand of deliverance to come. He put Moses right where he needed to be, and I think it no small coincidence at all. I mean, I don't think it was like, just dumb luck, if you will. It was just by happenstance that Moses happened upon these young ladies at the well. And it just so happened that he dwelled there with them, and he became a shepherd, and he began to lead the flocks of his father-in-law. I think it no small coincidence at all that God, if you will, these were his father-in-law's flocks, and that God made him an under shepherd. Are you with me? I think no small coincidence that God was looking for a leader, looking for, if you will, a mouthpiece, looking for someone to go and stand before Pharaoh. But it wasn't of the wisdom of this world. And it wasn't the power and the might of men. No. He was just looking for someone who would be a humble leader of sheep. And he found a man in Moses that he put Moses in a situation where Moses was now convinced that he didn't have enough might to overcome Egypt. No. And all his words weren't going to talk him out of the mess he got himself in with Pharaoh. Yep. And God made him an under shepherd of his father-in-law's sheep. They were not even his own. All the wisdom of Egypt didn't teach him what he needed to know. But God on the backside of a desert was going to break Moses and bring him to a point to where Moses said, man, I can't do anything. I'm not good enough. I don't speak well enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't do anything to help you, God. And you realize with me, that's where every one of us ought to be every day of our lives. God didn't get anything special when he got me. He got nothing special when he got you. But God, who is God, looked down that in spite of me, saw something special in me. God, who is God, looked down and while, yeah, I might have some abilities, I might have some talents, I might have some things to offer. Listen to me, I brought nothing to the table when God looked down, had compassion on me, and loved me. And God still wants to use each and every one of us. God still wants to have his have a work done in each and every one of us. And God was going to, listen, while he was aware of what needed to be done, God was going to spend the next 40 years teaching him how. Because Moses, we don't need you going into Egypt and trying to be the hand of deliverance. You need to go to Egypt and make them aware of the deliverer. Come on, Moses, I need you to go and just to make them aware that deliverance is coming, but it's not going to be by you. It's going to be by me. It was where God would inform him, not just what to do, but how to do it. You realize with me, the will of God is fulfilled. Now, don't miss this. The will of God is fulfilled in our lives when preparation meets opportunity. The will of God can be fulfilled in our life when preparation meets opportunity. Now, this world might stop and think, oh, Moses has all the preparation he needs. But God knew what he needed in a leader, and he didn't need some smart, wise man in this world that was a good speaker. He needed a shepherd who knew how to lead a flock. That's what he needed. And so God had to take him to a place where he was outside of the wisdom of this world and put him in a place where he could develop that in him. And God prepared Moses. And I'm telling you, we're going to look at Moses and even secular historians will look at the story and the life of Moses and they'll claim him to be this. They'll claim him to be one of the greatest leaders this world has ever known. But it was not going to be because of the wisdom of this world. It was not because of his fairness of speech. It was going to be because he learned how to be a humble under-shepherd to his father-in-law. And he was given an opportunity to prepare himself. He was given an opportunity to prepare himself. And God was going to prepare him and give him then the opportunity to be the leader that he desired to be. If we don't take the opportunity, though, to prepare ourselves, we're never going to be ready for the opportunities that God does present. You say, well, I'd love to be a witness. I know my need of being a witness. I know my need of sharing the gospel with the lost. I know my friends and my loved ones around me. I know they are lost. They're dying. They're on their way to hell. And I know I should be doing something about it. Well, what are you doing to prepare? What are you doing to prepare? I'm telling you, that's just a simple thing, and we can see a need. But if we never take time to prepare, if we were to set in front of you and say, okay, could you show me how it is that one would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Could you show me from the Scripture? A lot of people choke on their own spit. They get pretty dry mouthed. And they would stop and go, I don't even know the first verse to turn to. I don't even know what to do. Well, do you realize with me what needs to take place? Preparation. Preparation. And we can sit around all the day and say, Lord, we just wish you'd send somebody to show them the way of salvation. We wish you'd send them someone to be a witness unto them. And God might be waiting on you to prepare yourself. And sometimes when we faced with the circumstances, and I don't have any problem at all, not one bit. If you find yourself in a situation, you say, preacher, I need you to come over and show someone how to be saved. I'm more than happy. I'm thrilled to come over and do it. Call me anytime. But you know what would be even better is if you were coming, bringing someone to church and say, pastor, I showed them how to be saved. So how in the world do you know what scripture to go to? And how do you know what to say to people? Because I'm so wise. No, because I'm a great orator. I have good words. No. You realize? I get to open the Bible just like anybody else and read it. And I get to search the Scriptures and study the Scriptures just like anyone else. And just because I have a title of a pastor and just because I got to go to Bible college, understand with me, that gives me no more right or no more elevation or no more stance with God than anyone else. And you have just as much opportunity to prepare yourself to introduce them to one that could deliver them from the bondage of sin that they are in. Amen. Yes. You're going to have to take time to prepare yourself. When you say, I just wonder why I never had the opportunity. Maybe there's preparation that needs to take place in your life. And many times Christians fail in life because they lack of preparation. Because of a lack of preparation. All the wisdom you have in this world, listen, you say, I got common sense, I got street smarts, I've got an education from this college or from that college, or I graduated from the School of Hard Knocks, and I know how life works. Okay, listen to me. All the preparation and the wisdom of this world, even though it might be the best the world has to offer, can never prepare you, can never finish you and sharpen you and enable you to be ready when the opportunities of God come along. They won't. They won't at all. You might see problems. You might know something that is need. But only, listen to me, only God will be the deliverer. Amen. Sometimes life puts us in situations that show us how ill-prepared we really are. No. Sometimes life puts us in situations to show us exactly how ill-prepared we are. That's the circumstance that Moses found himself in. He found himself ill-prepared for what he knew God wanted him to do, and he had to go to a place of preparation for that which God would have him to do. And when we face situations and our true character is revealed, when we face situations and we respond in such a way that would show forth that we weren't ready for them, we show ourselves ill-prepared. Somebody does something to you. Maybe they wrong you. Maybe they lie to you about you. Or they do something against you. And your first response is, well, God, you know, God's in control. And God knows. And I'm just going to trust the Lord. You say, that's not generally my first response. Well, why is that? Because I'm telling you, you would find yourself ill-prepared for the circumstances of life. And while we might think, I know how to handle this kind of situation, I know how to handle that kind of person, I know how to handle this kind of problem, listen to me, God's way of handling things and God's way of leading in things generally is vastly different than the wisdom of man and the ways of man. God didn't need a deliverer. He was the deliverer. Amen. God was looking for a humble shepherd who didn't know anything. That's what he was looking for. A humble shepherd that was going to go in there, and not with a plan, but a humble shepherd that was going to go and fulfill God's plan. Amen. This world, listen, it doesn't need you and me. This world doesn't need my abilities. This world doesn't need my wisdom. This world doesn't need me to go in and think, I'm going to turn the world upside down. No. This world needs a child of God who surrendered to God and willing to follow the plan of God in order to reach a world that's lost and dying and on its way to hell. Today, God doesn't need, listen, He doesn't need me to be a Savior. He needs me to be the one who tells people about the Savior. God wants, listen, God's just looking for someone who's going to be a faithful witness. He's going to look for someone who's going to be a faithful witness. You realize with me that what made Moses such a great leader, what set Moses apart later on in his life, what made Moses usable to God, for the people of God, was that Moses heard what God had for him to do, and Moses did it. And God said, Moses, this is the way we ought to go. And Moses said, okay, God said, this is the way we're going to go, and that's the way we need to go. And Moses didn't stand up and for himself and say, listen, I'm the only one that can hear from God. I'm the only one that can make any decision. No. Moses just said, listen, God wants to work among us. And this is the direction and the way God's working. And would you follow me in it? Now, I'm telling you, that'll work in a church. That'll work in a home. That'll work in a marriage. Not if we just stand up and say, no, I'm smarter than you, honey. You just need to realize that. No, I've got the plan. I've got the path. I know the direction. Just get in behind me and be quiet. I'll lead and I'll guide and I'll direct. Generally doesn't go over too well. But when someone just say, listen, I don't know any better way than what God's word says. I don't know any better way than just this is what the word of God says. So I'm just going to, honey, will you trust me and follow me to fulfill the will of the word of God? Church, if I died tomorrow, what you don't need is somebody that has a better plan than God. You need someone who's just humble enough to just say, hey, well, this is the plan of God. Let's follow it. Honestly, in every circumstance you come to in life, God's not looking for you to have some wonderful plan of attack. God's looking for you to humble yourself before Him so that He can lead you and guide you. And so those that are around you and behind you can see, listen, they're not just fighting their way through life and throwing fists and throwing punches and hoping they can overcome the battle that's in front of them. They're living with a God that has a bigger plan for life. And they're being guided by a God who has a bigger plan for life. And listen to me, and a God that is leading them. It's important that you would be led of God. It's not so important that you just have a plan of attack. It's important that you and I would learn to be led. Realize Moses learned how to be led, and then Moses was able to lead. Many times we think, I'm just going to stand up and lead, and therefore I'll be a great leader. No. Moses learned how to be led. He learned how to be a shepherd. Right? You say, well, that's what a shepherd does. A shepherd leads. But guess what? They weren't his sheep. They weren't his sheep. There was a priest in Midian. They were his sheep. And Moses was content to dwell with him. And Moses was content to lead another man's flock. And as Moses was content to lead someone else's sheep, Moses learned how to be a shepherd. And eventually God was going to give him his own flock. Let me close with this. Deliverance only comes from God. Next time you face a problem in your life that you think you know exactly what the plan is, why don't you quickly bow yourself before God and acknowledge to Him that your heart is always willing to guide itself. But the most important thing you could have is for a God who would lead your heart. A God that would shepherd you. A God that would guide you. Next time you think, I know what the plan is. I know what to do. Don't just run and do it. Make sure it's the leading of God that's guiding you in it. Next time you think, I have a plan, you better confirm and make sure and make very clear that it's God's plan, not your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning.